16. The title of my message is, What Are You Going to Do? What are you going to do? And I don't know if you remember this, but we've been preaching or teaching on the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest mistakes that many of us as Christians we make is believing that whatever feels right, or if something goes right in our life, a happenstance, right, a happening in our life, then it must be God's will. That's a mistake. If we go based off of how we feel, if we go based off of our emotions, or even if we go based off of, hey, you know what, I'm comfortable, easy, everything went right, it must be God's will. I'm here to tell you that it's wrong. Doesn't mean that God's will is not easy sometimes, but I will tell you this, I would be worried if it is comfortable and easy and always pleasing, because you might not be doing God's will for your life. God's will for your life is not about pleasure. God's will for my life is not about my emotions or following my heart. That's what the world teaches. Doing God's will usually is in opposition on how I feel. Doing God's will, Ms. Shante, was me rooting up my family from something comfortable in Huntington, West Virginia. I did not want to do that. I did not want to do that. I did not want to leave our home that we had worked so hard for, our dream home. We had just remodeled it. Amen. I didn't want to leave. That, to me, was painful, because I'm like, man, we just got the home that we wanted. I've worked so hard to get this. I didn't want to just get up and go. But I will tell you, most of the time, to do God's will, if you're fighting it, then it's a good indicator that it's God's will. Amen? Because our flesh is in opposition to God. Our desires are always, listen to what I'm saying, if they're being made by the flesh, not being led by the Spirit, they're always in opposition to God. In other words, you didn't have to teach me how to lie. You didn't have to teach me how to steal. You didn't have to teach me how to get angry. That's natural for me. You know what's natural for you and me? To resist and fight God's will. Because we have habits that the world has put into us. We have prejudice from our families. We have preconceived teachings and ideas that have been instilled and ingrained in us that are anti-God. So, you think, well, Pastor, I just do it because it makes me happy. I'm going to say, warning, warning. You think I feel happy all the time? You think I feel happy losing sleep because of, you know, situations going on that I cannot explain? But I got to pray. I have to cry. I have to be there. Do you think I feel happy? That doesn't make me happy. It makes my heart hurt. But you know what? I'm not here to be comfortable. You know what? Doing part of God's will is sometimes carrying a what? And a cross is not easy. A cross is not pleasurable. It's pain. It's suffering. So I want us to understand that our culture, even though it encourages us to trust our emotions, to trust our feelings, to trust our own understanding, God never promised us, and here's the truth, to lead us by our feelings. He never said, follow your heart. Proverbs chapter, oh, I said 1 Peter, chapter 1, it says, but as he which hath called you is what? Holy. What's another word for holy, or what is the definition of that? Separating yourselves to do his will, but also separating yourselves from wrongdoing. Okay? That's what holy is. I separated my life to become a pastor, right? When I was, I never really dated, amen? But when I was a bachelor, amen? I was young before, amen? Before I lost my hair. When I was young before, amen? I separated from living that bachelor life, right? To living a married life. Now, you have to understand, that's a separation. Now, as a married man, I just live for what? That marriage. for my wife. Holiness is the same way. I no longer do the things I used to do. I'm going to just start living for the Lord. Okay, holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. At that time, during that old English phase, they didn't have this word lifestyle, okay? But this conversation also is more than just speech. It's talking about the manner of life that you have, how you behave, how you talk to people, how you treat people. It's supposed to be what? A holy way. Like, there should be something different about you and the world when you speak to somebody. They should notice that, right? Oh man, this person doesn't curse. This person has respectful manners, or this person doesn't lose it. Whatever, right? The world is our example that we know, but understand the Bible's commanding us to be ye holy, y'all, ye all, right? Holy in the manner of conversation, because it is written. Because what? It's in the Bible, right? Be ye holy, for I am. You say, Pastor, I don't know God's will for my life. Why? It's right there. Why don't you know God's will for your life? Unless you're consuming Hollywood, social media, the world. Unless you're consuming pleasure, what feels good, comfort, complacency. This is the only reason you don't know God's will. God's will is already written for us in His Word. And I want us to understand, what are you and I going to do? Our feelings, I'm going to tell you tonight, change. Our emotions, they fluctuate. I want you to know that our hearts can deceive us. But God never changes. And I'm going to tell you this. His will is never going to contradict His Word. So I can't say the Lord led me to that Beyonce concert, because that's not real. Amen? Your flesh led you there. Your flesh. Oh, the Lord led me to go buy that lottery. Your flesh. Okay? Now make sure you tithe. Amen? Cursed money. Amen? No, I'm kidding. But listen, here's the truth, right? Your flesh led you to that. Oh, no. I went to that club and I was trying to win people to the Lord. Your flesh led you to there. Why can't you win people at the grocery store to the Lord? Amen, right? You can't even do them here at the church. Amen, right? Amen, that was for free. Here's the thing. The Lord will never lead us, right, to do wrong. He's never going to do that. So if you want to figure out, hey, is this God's will for my life, yes or no? Let me ask you something. How do you feel? It's a good indicator. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I feel good when I do that. Okay, that's an indicator probably it's not God's will. I know people are not going to like that. But here's the truth. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Did I not give you the 14? Okay, turn to Proverbs 14, please. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, 12. For the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and say it. There is a way which seemeth what? Right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It might seem right for us to have our emotions, to do things out of emotion, emotionally. It might seem right for us to do things to please us, for our feelings. It might seem right for us to do these things, but can I tell you, the problem with that is that our heart deceives us. Jeremiah 17:9. Did I give you that? Jeremiah 17:9 says this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? You can't even know it. I can't even know it. Amen? That's how desperately wicked. That's how deceiving our heart is. Oh, Pastor, I just have a ministry at the beach and, I'm trying to lead people to the Lord, brother. Okay, calm down. If you're not even leading your own family members to the Lord, you don't lie and then try to say that you're trying to go to the beach. Okay? You're just trying to have a good time. I don't know what you're trying to do over there. Remember, you're just trying to have a good time. Go to the beach, man. Don't say, I'm trying to lead people to the Lord. No. I promise you, God didn't lead you there. Amen? It's probably the sun and the beach, I guess, the water. I don't know. But it's not the Lord. This verse here in Jeremiah 17:9 teaches that our hearts are not trustworthy. It teaches that it is not trustworthy for it to guide us. So how are you and I going to determine if it's God's will if we follow our heart? Well, I think this is what God wants me to do. You better know. You better know. Because some of the decisions we make in life are going to impact us, right? Right? They're going to impact our children. We got to make sure. Right? Who we marry, right? If we get saved or not, if we serve, what school we go to. All of this is going to impact our lives. Don't think about it. You better know. Is it God's will? Or do you think it's God's will because it makes you feel good? Well, the Bible here is teaching us we cannot trust our hearts because our emotions and our desires, they can deceive us. They come from the heart. This is why we don't rely. Listen to what I'm saying. We don't depend. We're not trusting our heart. Instead, we're trusting what? God's word. Is that simple? You want to know God's will? Read the word. You want to know God's will? Obey his word. Pastor, it doesn't teach about dating. Oh, it teaches about who to stay away from. That strange woman that flattered with her lips. They probably had Botox back then too. That woman. Amen. I'm pretty sure. Why would the Bible put it there? Amen. Okay, I'm joking. The one that winked with her eye. Right? The one that flatters with her words. It's in Proverbs chapter 7. We know it. It's in the Bible. Oh, it doesn't talk about dating. Yeah, it does. You're just not reading. Amen? You know what? It teaches me how to be a husband. I'm not so worried and concerned about my wife being the type of woman she needs to be. I'm commanded, right, to be a certain type of husband. That's all I need to worry about. Because I have been ordained by God to lead my home. I don't lead my home by being a little spiritual Hitler and telling her, woman, get right with God. That's not my job. I'm going to lead her by being the same man Sunday, Thursdays, and Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And she's going to see that sincerity and being that genuine person that I'm not perfect, but I'm going to try my best, Brother Tyler. And I'm going to fail. You can ask her. I failed. Amen. Not miserably. I mean, I don't think so. Amen. Do I? Jeremiah 17:10, the next verse, after the heart is deceitful above all things. Look what it says in verse 10. I like this verse because it contrasts deceitful hearts with God's perfect knowledge. I, the Lord, search the what? I search the what? It's not our job to search our hearts. Who does it for us? The Lord. God, right? I test, right? The reins, the control. I'm the one that understands and I test what controls you. I'm the one that's going to search you. I'm going to see who has a fortress in your heart. Who has control of your heart. Let me do that. Look what it says. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And guess what? I'm the one that's going to give you what you sowed. You planted that? I'm going to give you the results, your harvest. It's that simple. So when we make a dumb choice, right? Amen? If we make a choice that's unspiritual, why do we expect a different result? He's going to give us what we want. Well, whatever we surrender to, if it's the flesh, guess what the result's going to be? Carnal. Not spiritual. That's not going to help my children. That's not going to help my wife. That's not going to help the church. That's not. If it's sin, it brings forth what? Death. That's what my result going to be. You follow me? That's my result. And we wonder, God, why is this happening to me? I've been doing your will. No, you've been, let's be honest, you've been doing whatever you want. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is what? Death. Let's be honest, right? We're big boys and girls. I want us to understand this, and I'm trying to encourage us. What are you going to do? What am I going to do tonight? The Christian life is not lived by asking, hey, what do I feel like doing today? Do I feel like going to church today or not? What do I feel like doing? Do I feel like waking up or not? No, man, you're going to go to work. You have to provide, right? You're going to make sure those kids go. I can never get this, Brother Jeremiah. I struggle with it. How sometimes parents, we put priority on things that are not even going to last, not even going to help our children. It might help them temporarily, but not in the long run. And it's not even for their benefit. I can't understand how sometimes parents are like, I don't want to make them go to church. But you make them take a bath, you make them, you know, do chores, you make them go to school. Come on, let's be real. You make them go to the doctor. They definitely don't want to go there. And you say, well, they you know, we need to clean their cavities. I get it. Just like here, this is a spiritual hospital. The soul needs to be cleansed. Amen? But we put a priority on these things that are not going to help them. Well, yeah, please, amen. Tell your kids to brush their teeth. Amen? Cavities are expensive, just to let you know. But the reality is this, right? School's good. They should go to school. But all of that mental, all that physical help is temporary compared to spiritual. Their belief, what they stand for. But we put a priority on these things, right, that are temporary. No, I don't want your kids to be missing teeth and they only have one good tooth, okay? I don't want that. But I'm trying to tell you, if it's, you know what, I don't feel well, my back's hurting, you know what, I'm tired, but guess what I'm going to do? I'm not going to allow my physical appetite, I'm not going to allow my physical desire of not wanting to go to church stop me from going to church, because my child who's watching me is going to follow my example. And I'm going to put in them, even though you don't realize this, spiritual, I'm going to instill in them that it's okay if you're tired not to go to church. Guess what? When they're married, do you think they're going to get tired? When they go to work, do you think they're going to get tired? Let me give you a good secret, and I hope this encourages you. How many of you are tired tonight? Huh? Welcome to the club. This world's ran by tired people. We're trying to create adults. Not people that go based off of their feelings. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing that. I get it. Sometimes, you know, it's just you're going through a bad time. I want us to understand that the Christian life is lived by asking, God, what do you want me to do today? God, do you want me to go to church or not? God, do you want me to read my Bible or not? God, do you want me to mistreat my wife or not? I promise you, I can't find that in the Bible. God, do you want me to talk down to my wife or not? I can't promise that. I can't show it in the Bible. You know what my flesh wants to do, right? I want to have my way. I always want to be right. That's not going to work in marriage. Many times God's will is the exact opposite of what our flesh desires. The world's path, I'm going to be honest, it's easier. It's real nice to look upon because it promises comfort. It promises pleasure. It promises convenience. It promises popularity, acceptance. It promises personal satisfaction. That's the world's way. It says, hey, take the easy road. Take it easy, right? But God's plan often requires sacrifice, self-denial, obedience, hardship, even suffering. How many of you here want to suffer tonight? Amen? Raise your hand. You want to suffer? How many of you don't want to suffer, but you're suffering? That should be all of us, amen, right? We live in a sin-filled world. And if we do it God's way, guess what? We're not going to be the most popular. But praise the Lord, we're going to have God on our side. Guess what? The road's not always going to be easy. But praise the Lord, he's going to show us the path and the direction. Yes, our way is harder. Our way takes time. It's not because it's our way. It's because it's his way. And it requires for us to die to ourselves that Christ may be seen in us. Amen? What's the greatest example of that? Jesus. Jesus. You think Jesus went to the beach? Amen? Yeah, he did, to go get Peter and them. But do you think he had a, well, I guess I can't say that. Yeah, he did have a beach ministry. Amen? But he didn't go on his little towel with the umbrella there, amen, taking a tan. Amen? What do you call that spray stuff? Sunscreen? There you go. Sorry, white people. I'm sorry. Sorry. I don't burn. And my wife's like, you don't burn? And then I got burned. No, here's the thing. He didn't go to get a tan. Amen? Amen. He went to go see souls saved, right? Peter, John, right? This is what he did. And I don't know why I was going there. Amen. But Jesus didn't spend his time pursuing worldly entertainment, worldly pleasure. He didn't live comfortably is what I'm saying. He didn't even have a place to rest his head. Okay? Listen, if I ever come over here asking the church for a G5, and that's old school, amen, maybe G7. A G7 jet, run. Amen. Run the opposite direction. Go over there. Amen. We have two exits. Well, actually three if you go through my office. Three exits, run away as far as away from here as possible. That's not Jesus. That's not Christ-like. He didn't ride in the best-looking horse either. He rode on a donkey, right? What I'm trying to say is that he didn't pursue these conveniences. He lived to obey his Father's will. And every decision he made, it was to prepare him for something that he was going to suffer. What was that? The cross. Man, is that how you want to live your Christian life? I don't, but I'm not going to follow my heart. I have to obey his word. I have to be separated and live for a purpose, because it's preparing me for my cross that I must bear. My friends, it's the exact same thing. What are you going to do tonight? Will you bear your cross? Yes, we're not Jesus, but similarly, and like Jesus, you have a cross to bear. You have a cross to bear. I have a cross to bear. It's things that we don't like. You say, Pastor, what should I do? Instead of pursuing popularity, pursue obedience to the word of God. Amen? Instead of pursuing pleasure, embrace the sacrifice. You got to pay a price, man. You know these kids? Brother Zach, you know what I found out? And I think you're going to find out too, amen, once she gets a little bit older. They don't come with the manual. Amen, they don't, amen. It doesn't come with the manual. And there's no shortcuts. Guess what you have to do? Be present. When you're tired, coming from work, when you haven't eaten, your stomach's grumbling, when you're just dealing with a load of overwhelming problems in your life, you still have to be present as a father. That's the price. Be consistent. Be present. You know what that is? Sacrifice. Oh, Pastor, it's a sacrifice for you to love your children? You understand what I mean. Sometimes you're in those different modes. You don't feel like it. But you have to choose, right? The world's way? Oh, here's the iPad. Or you have to do it your way and say, okay, what's going on? And you had to block everything else out and be there present. That's the only way. There's no shortcut. I don't know how else to explain this. There's no shortcut. And Jesus is the best example. When others avoid suffering, Jesus was willing to endure the cross. First point. Sorry, I'm just getting my first point. I try to be quicker. First point, no promises. I want you to know that sacrifices are never wasted when we do God's will, and he has given us three reliable guides. I don't know why I put that, but what are you going to do with the Holy Scriptures? This is a guide that God has given you. You know how sometimes we say, well, I was led by the Spirit to date this person? It wasn't the Spirit. It was the wrong Spirit, okay? Maybe the Jezebel Spirit. I don't know what kind of Spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. I will tell you this, God has the Holy Scriptures. You want a manual of dating? You want a manual of who to marry? The Holy Scriptures. Next. Look at the Bible, what it says. 2 Timothy 3:16. What is the Holy Scriptures for? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Who? God inspired holy men in that time. If you go to 1 Peter, we don't have it. But he moved them with the Holy Ghost, okay? And it's profitable for doctrine. What are these Scriptures profitable for? What's another word for that? Modern day? Teaching. So it's going to teach us, right? It's profitable. It brings value to me because it's going to teach me something I don't know. Well, what is it going to teach me? Reproof. What does that mean? Something that I'm doing wrong, right? It's going to teach me what I'm doing wrong. What else is it going to teach me? For correction. What does that mean? How to get it right. It's going to teach me what I'm doing wrong in my life. Hey, I was led by the Holy Spirit to go to that concert. No, that's wrong. And guess what it's going to do? It's going to teach you how to get it right. Correction. For what? For instruction in righteousness. Not only is it going to help you, show you what you're doing wrong, it's going to help you get it right. And here's the big thing. You want to be a winner? You want to be successful? You want to be prosperous in the Christian life? It's going to help you maintain. It's going to show you how to keep it right. That's the hardest thing. But guess what the Bible says? That's its value. It teaches you. And here's what we don't do. We don't spend time enough in the Bible. Here's what we don't do. We don't spend enough time meditating on the Bible. And it says the man of God, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all what? To help this man to be mature. This lady to be mature. The Holy Scriptures is what God gave us. Something that has already been spoken by God. God's word. We're looking for Dr. Phil. Appreciate that, man. It's from Texas. Amen. But it's going to take more than Dr. Phil. It's going to take God to intervene into our lives. God, what have you spoken? Well, he's spoken the world into existence. Don't you think he can speak existence into your life? Maybe you say, man, I just have death around me. Ask him for life around you. Ask him to bring those people that are going to support you, encourage you. Amen? Those associations that will bring life to you. God uses the Bible not just as a book for pastor or for any one of us to just own. God gave us the Bible so we can obey his words. It's not just so we can own it. Hey, I have a Bible. Okay, good. What have you done with it? Oh, well, I memorized it. Okay, good. How's your life? Do you obey it? That's good. You're memorizing it. Man, praise the Lord. You're a walking Bible. But do you have the power? You know, He-Man, I have the power and the sword. Amen. Do you have the power? None of us are perfect is what I'm trying to explain, right? None of us. We don't have it together. But when we are in our weakest moment, in our lowest ebb, guess where we should go to? The Word of God. Why, Pastor? Because he guides us with the Holy Scriptures. That's why. The next verse, Psalm 119. How does the Word of God guide us? It's a what? Lamp unto my feet and a... How does the Word of God guide you? It enlightens you, right? It illuminates where you're at. My condition is a lost sinner. Guess what I'm going to do, Tyler? I'm going to sin. It doesn't give me a license to sin, but it explains to me, look, I have this corrupt, sinful nature, and guess what I'm going to do? Sin. Guess what? That's your condition. So because that's your condition, who do I need to help me? Who? God, right? So if he spoke his word, he's helping me understand, this is how I'm going to help you. Here are the instructions, okay? I'm going to give you my word so you can know where you're at in life, spiritually. Does my position keep me from sinning? Yes or no? Yes or no? No. Don't ever do that. Don't ever put a man of God on a pedestal. We are all men. And we fail. Give honor to that position. I understand for the works that we do and what we've surrendered our life. But don't put someone in a pedestal. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. It's not that you're being mean. It's not that I'm being mean. Okay? But you know what the realization is? We've lived a little bit. Amen? And we all realize, those of us that love the Lord, that we're nobody without him. That he's going to not just show us our condition, but he's going to show us what path to take. He's a light unto my what? A path. What direction do you need to take tonight? You want to know how it is? Read the Bible. Next, because the Bible is a lamp and a light. Be ye what? Doers of the word. What is that? Obedient. Don't just come to listen to the preaching. Obey the word of God, not the pastor. Don't leave here and say, hey, pastor, I'm going to do what you said. No, no, no. Please, don't bring that curse upon me. Do what the word of God says. Amen? When you go home, husbands, don't tell your wife the pastor said, please don't do that, amen? Say, you know what the word of God says? Amen, not the pastor. Ladies, don't go home and say, husbands, you know what the pastor said? Please don't do that. What does the word of God say? Because the word of God is telling us to that the light, that the word of God is a lamp and a light, but it's also the word of God is there to guide us to obey it. Be ye obedient, right? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? It's going to help you avoid one of the biggest things that I notice in this narcissistic generation that we have. People are in denial. And it's not that river in Egypt. Deceiving your own selves. We're caught up in self-deception. I'm not that bad of a sinner like Brother Zach. He's in the media. I'm a pastor. What? That has nothing to do with anything, right? I'm not as bad as Ms. Yehida. She's a youth pastor. Amen. I'm pretty sure those people are bad. That's not how it works, right? I must be in denial. Yeah, let's stay away from her. No, I'm joking. I'm kidding and I'm picking, okay? I hope y'all understand it's not true. But what I'm trying to say is many of us, and I'm not promoting Chick-fil-A, but most of us are, my goodness, next time I use a Sharpie. Most of us deceive our own selves. We're in denial. If my wife tells me something, it's not because she hates me, but there are times, and y'all know me enough, I think I talk a lot. My wife's like, babe, I just shared with you something, and you just made it about yourself. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, calm down. All right. Man, I see so many. I'm going to try to erase those images that I just saw. Everybody's like smiling, amen? You might have hit on something, amen? But my wife is like, babe, you just turned something that I was sharing with you into something that you do. And I'm like, what did I do? You talked about yourself. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I could either take it like this. Woman, yield, amen? Or I could say submit, you know, use the scripture and try to twist it. Or I can say, you know what? She's trying to what? She's trying to help me, right? She's trying to help me. Now, why is that important? Because many of us get into this place in life where it's almost like we don't have Bible in us. Is it possible? Is it possible? More than likely it is that I talk a lot about myself, amen? Is it possible? I have to be humble enough to realize, you know what? I read in the Bible, preferring one another. So if she's telling me this, it's not because she hates me. She might be telling me this because she's trying to help me and she loves me, right? Doesn't want her husband to be an embarrassment, amen, to the family. Amen. I doubt she thinks like that, amen? But I'm going to tell you what happens. If I were the type of person that's like, girl, you don't know what you're talking about. What am I in? In denial. I'm deceiving myself, amen? All right, next verse, because I think you guys are enjoying that one too much. Joshua 1:8. How does the Bible help us? It guides us, it illuminates us, and if we obey, it prevents us from being deceived. It gives us that power. See, the world won't have that power of deception over you anymore and pull that wool over your eyes. Your bad habits, they can't control you anymore because you are obeying the word of God. Follow me? Look what it says here, though. Prosperity and success. This is the verse. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, therefore, for us to what? If we meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, to obey it, right? If we meditate and obey it, what's going to happen? For then, after we obey, after we meditate and obey, for then thou shalt make thy what? Anything you do, your life, your behavior, anything you get involved in, prosperous? Let me ask you something. Would this be my marriage? Would this be my church family? Would this be my community? My relationships, you follow me? Would this be my finances? Yes. Then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Plain and simple. Oh, I just believe it's God's will for me not to tithe. Amen. Okay, have at it. You notice here, I don't try to force or obligate or shame or guilt anybody. That's your thing. You want to be blessed? That's the code. Go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. That's what I go by. I also see in the New Testament, there's many good verses about, you know, it's a hard issue. Man, do what you want to do, okay? I'm not going to be here a little spiritual Hitler. I'm not. By the way, praise the Lord, I can speak this way with a clear conscience because I don't know the finances. Praise the Lord, amen? I have nothing to do with the finances in that way. I just blame Miss the secretary and my wife, amen? That they help with that stuff, amen? Here's the thing. I could preach with a clear conscience and say, if you want to do that, that's fine. If you want to bring a curse, like Malachi says, that's fine. That's up to you. That's up to you. What I don't want you to do is be surprised and blame God afterwards because you're not doing it right. And you're not doing it right not because you're ignorant, not because you don't know. I'm not saying, you know, mentally. I'm saying, like, you don't lack the knowledge. You're doing it because you're refusing to acknowledge the truth. The Holy Scriptures helps us with that. So here's my question. What are you going to do? Second point. What are you going to do with the Holy Scriptures, but what are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Many of us might struggle with addiction. You don't have to. It's hard? Yeah. Yeah. Especially if it's a habit, right? Some of us, though, think alcohol, drugs, gambling are habits. I mean, I get it. They're bad habits. But that's not the only addiction. Some of you, you're judgmental and critical, dude. Some of you are good at gossiping, like Pastor, amen? Pray for me. Amen? I don't condone gossip. I just do it a lot, amen? But here's the thing. I'm trying to joke here. There are many things. Some of you are great liars. Great liars. Like, what do you call those people that just automatically... Brrr, what is it? Habitual liars. Like... Brrr. And I'm like, whoa, I know the truth? And it's almost like, Brother Tyler, I'm shocked, man. It's like... It's like a... You say, what is that? I don't know. But just lie after lie. And I'm like, man, that's good. I know it's not true, because I know the truth. But these individuals like act like it's the truth. And if I were to say, I would never do this because I don't believe in, you know, making a vow on mamas and daddies, amen. If I were to say, you promise on your mom or your daddy, they would probably say yes and then have their fingers crossed behind them. That's how habitual liars. This is what happens. You want to stop that addiction? The desire to want to lie? Just walk in the Spirit. You have the power of God in you. That's what empowers us, right? It's that supernatural. I don't know if I want to say this, but I'm going to go ahead. Because I only have two. I had a man at the church, growing up in my home church. He was a deacon, Sunday school teacher, and the father of one of my best friends. I think we were 8 or 9. I would go to my friend's house, and he would put us to work. Praise the Lord, every Mexican, amen. Story, amen, growing up. But so here's the problem with that, Brother Jeremiah. We were only 8 and 9, but we weren't pros, you know. I was not a plumber, stuff that he would put us to work. I was not an upholsterer. I don't know if that's even the right word. And, you know, we weren't skilled labor, amen. I was still learning how to hit a hammer, amen, with the right nail. But he would have these episodes where he just blew up. Here's the neat thing. I've seen blow up because where I grew up, I saw that. I was already traumatized by that. That was normal to me, right? If you didn't blow up, there's something wrong with you. Amen? That was the kind of kid I was, traumatized. That wasn't new to me. The disappointment came when I would hear him curse. And I would hear him curse, not just at his son, but he cursed at me. I'm like, what? He let me know, Brother Daniel. Amen? And I'm going to tell you this. It didn't keep me or prevent me from loving him. I still loved him. I think he was genuine. I really do believe he wanted to help us because this is how we made a little bit of money as little kids, I guess. But he would take us for ice cream, really. It's not money. He would take us for ice cream or we'd go out to the park or something. But my point is this. It taught me two very important things about that, okay? When he blew up and things of that nature, I realized first that everyone's a sinner. That position didn't determine your spirituality. That's the first thing I realized, because he was a deacon, Sunday school teacher, right? And he was a father. He was doing the right thing. He was there for his kids. But I realized, you know what? He wasn't perfect. It didn't make me hate him. It didn't make me want to quit church. It taught me how to grow up, you know, quick and realize people are people. The second thing it taught me, not only that he was a sinner saved by grace, like we all are, that position doesn't determine spirituality. But the second thing that it helped me realize about people is that if I really want to be influential for God, that I need to be the same person that I am on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Because if not, you might disappoint somebody. And yeah, those are scars or whatnot. I mean, I made amends or whatever. My friends are still around, but it was hurtful to see my Sunday school teacher teach one thing, and then the man I looked up, I admired, did that. I'm telling you this because the reality is we need help. You follow me? What he was struggling with was temper. He blew up. But I promise you this, if he would have been different and be led by the Spirit, his kids would have turned out better. And I know them. I can tell you the names, but I know this is being recorded. For the sake of that, I won't. Three boys. All of them outside of the church. Let me see. I'm not going to say his name, but he's not even married, but has three different baby mamas, my friend. His older brother still married the same woman. But he wants nothing to do with God. He's hateful. No, not hateful. What is it called? Angry. Because the church made his dad this way. And the oldest one, he is married on his fourth marriage. Not that that's going to be some kind of a standard. I'm just trying to explain to you. That's the damage we do. That's what that second point. I need to be very careful as far as if I want to be influential for God, I'm going to need his help, right? Next verse. John 16:13. Howbeit when he, who? The Spirit of what? Truth, man. Is come, he will what? Guide you into all what? Truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to what? Come. Folks, I'll hurry here, but the Spirit guides us into all what? Truth. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Plain and simple, what are you going to do with the Holy Ghost? Will you grieve him? What is the Bible telling us and commanding us not to do? That's a commandment. But you know what we do? We break that commandment. We'll keep the other commandments. Oh, I'll come to church. I'm not going to forsake the assembly. But grieve the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. That's for free. Amen. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Listen, you want to be a child of God? You want to know that you're a child of God? Just allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Plain and simple. Plain and simple, right? Ask yourself this. Am I sensitive to, not the pastor's preaching, amen? Am I sensitive to the Spirit's conviction? Some of us call that word negative, but it's not. It'll help you. If you're being convicted of something, the Holy Spirit does that the same way that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures do, right? It reproves you. It convicts you when you're wrong. Have I ignored his prompting when he's pushing you, when he's moving you, nudging you? Am I depending on myself or am I depending on the Holy Spirit? When you teach, when you speak, when you do marriage, when you do relationships, when you do your finances. Oh, I'm going to manage it the way I want to. Okay, but do you let the Holy Spirit lead you? Stop resisting the Spirit. Stop. You say, Pastor, what can I do? Start responding to him. He'll help you. Third point, and I'm almost done. Okay, I forgot. What are you going to do as a holy saint? What are you going to do? 1 Peter. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye what? Holy. In all manner of conversation in your lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here's the truth, right? God never called anyone in here, any one of us, to just attend church. That's the truth. If anything, he called us to be different. Amen. Yeah. He didn't just call us, hey, just join a church and then that's all you have to do for me. No, he's calling me to be different, holy. I'm not holy, Brother Jeremiah. Brother Tyler, I'm not holy. Daniel, I'm not holy. I'm just a pastor. Brother Mundo, I'm not holy. Brother Zach, I'm not holy. Brother Cullen, I'm not holy. TJ, Taylor, I'm not holy. But here's the thing. Because we're not holy, understand that this passage here is referring to all manner of life. How am I supposed to be different? When you go home, my wife should see that I'm different than the world. Not the same as the world. Amen. Yeah, we should be encouraged. When I go home, my children should see that I'm different than the what? The world. I'm talking about in all manner of life, behavior, right? The way I speak, the way I do things. Listen, I think we sometimes misconstrue this. Like we have this thought that I think holy is just reserved for Sundays. No, bro, no, it's not. We're supposed to be holy saints. We're supposed to be people that are believers of God, that are saved by God. Guess what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. At work, be holy, right? At home, be holy. In private, be holy. At church, be holy. At the grocery store, be holy. At our workplace, be holy. Amen? In your friendships, be holy. At the Beyonce concert, yeah, the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you there. Amen? Amen. You don't have to like it, but she's not going to lead you. He's not going to lead you there. Be holy. He's not going to lead you somewhere that they hate Christianity and they are anti-God. They're not. He's not going to do that. Be holy. Your entertainment choices, be holy. Pastor, do you have it all together? No, I don't. Ask my wife, I made a decision to, when I watch entertainment stuff, I'm not supposed to watch certain things, amen, now. Not because I'm spiritual, okay? Because I really truly want my kids, I really do truly want my wife to see Christ in me. And I know vice versa, she wants, don't you, babe? You want me to see Christ in you? Okay, she agreed, amen. I got her, she couldn't deny that, amen. Listen, Matthew 5:16 is talking about let your shine light. Romans 12:1-2 is talking about be transformed and not conformed. Philippians 2:15 is talking, because I don't have time. Philippians 2:15 is talking about shine as lights in the world. Ephesians 5:8 is talking about walk as children of the light. You guys are welcome. Amen. Stop distracting me. Amen. I'm trying to see here. Amen. I forgot where that was. I had a good illustration, and praise the Lord, he doesn't want me to share that with you because it might be about me. Amen. That was a joke. That was a joke. Amen. This is what I'm going to... what in the world? Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't even know my notes. Here's the third thing that I wanted to share with you is that about the holy saints. How many of you ever seen a lighthouse? Or in real life, or I mean on Google, whatever. You know, pictures on TV, okay. Do you notice that they don't only like shine their light, the lighthouses that are there for that reason. They don't only shine their lights when there's a storm. Their purpose is to light a shine so that way ships don't what? Sink. They don't hit the what? The rocks, right? The reefs. You know what? They don't blow a horn to like give everybody a heads up, the ships, hey, you're too close to shore. They don't do that to get people's attention. You know what they do? They just shine. They shine in the place that they were placed. Why? That's their purpose. Guess what our purpose is, parents, husbands, wives, children? Guess what our purpose is? To shine. In the place we were placed. Yeah, to be different. That's how we prevent the world from damaging their life even further. Not because we're perfect, right? But because we understand that we're supposed to obey the word of God, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and live a separated life that will help others see Christ in us. That's the whole purpose. I love that deacon. He had a saying, in Spanish, it's not a curse word. But he had a saying that, and I would just laugh at him, and he'd get mad at me. And then eventually my brother and I had like this ongoing joke. I'm going to say it like brother so-and-so, amen? That wasn't a bad thing, though. Like, there were times where I was discouraged because I didn't make the football cut that one time, and I had to sit the bench. And he was the one that took me to, what is that place called? Denny's. It was a tradition for me to eat steak, eggs, and what is it? Steak, eggs, and hash brown. So it was a tradition in that sense because I only did it like once or twice, amen, with him. He would take me anytime I was discouraged. This man that would blow up, this man that had no control, he would take me and his son when his son told him, hey, he didn't make the starting lineup. So he would try to encourage me. And I remember, and this is the Spanish word, I remember when, I was just down. I wasn't really talking, but he knew my situation. I was discouraged. He goes, hey, Zeke. He goes, hey, man, it's all right. He goes, easy does it. Are you not easy? I'm like, yeah. He's like, it's all right, man. Easy does it. It's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. And he's like, dale la pompandad. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's in Spanish. I don't know. I think it's Tex-Mex, honestly. I don't know what it is. It's like a made-up version of his Spanglish, la pompandad. I'm like, what? I didn't know what that was. So when I told my brother, I'm like, hey, what's up, pompandad? He's like, I don't know. He started laughing, amen. But here's the thing. What he's saying is don't quit. Get back up. Don't throw the towel. Okay, so you didn't make it this season. So what? Are you going to quit? He's like, don't quit. The same man that disappointed me, God used to encourage me. So it's not about perfection at all. It's not. It's not about precision. It's not about what we think. It's really about the Word of God, obeying it, the Holy Spirit letting it lead us, and then living a life that's separated. Because that's when God uses us. Amen? Let's bow our head, close our eyes. Maybe God spoke to your heart, I don't know, tonight. Maybe you want to ask yourself, what would others know? Would others know if I'm a Christian by the way I live? Maybe that's a question you probably want to ask yourself at work, at home, at the church. Maybe you want to ask yourself this question as the piano plays. Does my lifestyle honor Christ? Is there anything in my life that keeps me from being holy? Folks, I just want to encourage us. Live in such a way that others see Jesus before they hear you speak. God has already done his part. He gave us the Holy Scriptures to teach us. He gave us the Holy Ghost to strengthen us. And he's called us to live a holy life as a saint. So the question is no longer, what has God done? The question is, what are we going to do? That's the question.